welcome to Discord Radio on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the unceded territories of the Musqueam and Coast Salish peoples here on UBC campus. We have a great show lined up. It's going to be very exciting. Hey, what's up?
Hey. It's Kat Cott.
Hey, Kat Cott. I do think it's funny, at this point in time, the kind of Discord Radio lifestyle is Kat Cott, Dora Dewar, Britt Bachman. We just like really, we got the like alliteration down, which is pretty silly.
Yeah.
But how are you doing? You're wearing glasses today, which I don't think I've seen in like a very long time.
I'm just feeling very allergic for some reason to like the environment.
Cause you moved, hey?
I think that's what's going on. All the dust is like causing me to just be all puffy. But yes, I moved.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm getting settled and it's very nice.
Do you think it'll be like, I don't know, does it feel good so far?
It feels really good.
Cool.
Like, I'm, like, cooking, like, quinoa again and, like, watercoloring.
Sick.
So, I'm feeling pretty good.
I'm so happy for you. You know who else is feeling good? Hopefully everyone, because it's nice out today. It was, like, not super nice yesterday. It was cold. I had to visit Discord liaison Claire Bailey at work and give her a sweater because she was so cold. But the sun is out. Don't think guns are out, but it's cool. But Pride is coming up. So
woo.
I think June is like Pride Month, right?
Yeah, like pretty much everyone has like a June Pride Day.
Yeah.
Except Vancouver.
Yeah, so this year, Vancouver Pride is August 3rd, which is cool. And CITR is celebrating.
Hell yeah.
We're doing like I want to say it's like we're going to try to go for 24 hours. I'll be amazed if we get 24 hours, but of straight, queer, and like prideful content. And we want stories that will represent like as many queer identities as possible. So if you like are interested or like know anything in like art, music, activism, education, community, whatever, contact Madeline. She's our programming manager at programming@citr.ca. Do it. Yellow.
Yes, do it to it.
Kind of like staying on theme, there's a Pride reading series, like the second installment of three, and that's happening this Thursday, July 13th from 6:30 to 7:30 at Jim Dava Plaza, and it's totally free. I'm really excited about this because it's like a Dagger Editions thing, and Dagger Editions is amazing. It's a local like publication pretty much, or like branch of a publishing company that publishes exclusively queer women. So that's like genderqueer, like sexually queer, just kind of like queer and ladies. And they had their launch party last April. So they've been functioning for like about a year and a half now, I think. That might be a little generous, but yeah, they're amazing. They're part of Caitlin Press. And this Thursday, there's going to be a Loud and Proud reading of poetry and prose of authors by Dagger Editions. So Cicely Bell Blaine, Nicola Hardwood, and Adele Barclay are all going to be there, and it's totally free. Books are going to be on sale. They're going to be signing by Little Sisters. It's going to be very exciting. So I'm actually going to play. I had the amazing opportunity to interview Vicky Johnstone, who actually owns and like operates and functions like Caitlin Press. And I spoke with her for the Gender and Polymer Collective's radio show several months ago. But she was amazing, and I was going to play that really quickly. It's just kind of about like gender and publishing. And I interviewed her right after the election, the state's election, which was like really jarring. But yeah, enjoy that on Discord Radio. We're going to have a lot more tunes and good times. So thanks for tuning in to Discord Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Dora Duber. I'm calling to interview Vicky Johnstone. Hi. Sorry. I think I called you earlier, but I was having a little bit of technical difficulties. Oh, one second. Can you try speaking?
Hi there. Hi. This is Vicky Johnstone, Caitlin Press. Okay.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so let's get started.
Okay.
So what is Caitlin Press, and can you describe like what it does?
Well, Caitlin Press is a regional press. We're based in Half Moon Bay in BC, and we represent some stories by and about British Columbia and by and about British Columbia women. So it was established originally in 1977 as a feminist press in Vancouver. It ran for about 10 years, and then it was sold to a woman who moved it to Prince George, and she was the person who switched the mandate to a regional press. And she ran it for about 15 years, and then she passed away, and the press sat for a couple of years, and then I purchased it and returned it to the women's or the feminist version of the press, but maintained the regional aspect and the regional mandate as well.
Can you just explain what a regional press is?
Well, regional press is specifically interested in stories by and about a specific region. So, for instance, you might have in Canada, we have a number of regions. So we have presses that specifically publish about Newfoundland and Alberta and Saskatchewan and Winnipeg, as opposed to a press that doesn't really care about where the author is from or where the story is from, as long as it's Canadian. And some of them are not even solely Canadian. They're just publishing, the best books that they can find. So some of us focus on a certain area, about that certain area, or written by authors that live in that certain area.
Okay, cool. Is that where urban meets rural kind of slogan came from?
Yes and no. We've published, like I said, Caitlin Press has been publishing about rural BC, specifically northern BC. She was in Prince George mostly. And when I bought the press, I was going to expand it, or I was actually thinking about just changing it back to its feminist or its women's stories mandate. And the people in the Central Ontario really made a good case for how important their stories were, and so I maintained that part of the mandate. But where rural meets urban comes from the idea that there's so many things that are happening in the rural areas in our province. I always like to say that 95% of our population lives in the city, but 95% of our resources come from outside the city. So as we're more and more interested in what's happening to our rivers and what's happening in climate change and what's happening to our forests, I believe that more urban readers are interested in what's happening in the rural areas. So that's where that slogan comes from.
So what does it mean to operate as a feminist press?
Operate as a feminist press. Well, I guess for me, that means that we're specifically interested in stories and issues that face women, both in today's world and the historical world of Canada, because we do a lot of history books as well. So how we got here, what is happening specifically in our lives that are important for us to live happy, healthy lives, but also what's happening sort of on a global perspective with women's rights and women's ability to accomplish what they want to accomplish. We publish books that are, stories about women we have a story about a woman who's the first hunting guide in BC in 1941, for instance. We're publishing a book right now about a woman who is fighting, she's fighting sexual misconduct and discrimination in the military. So it's quite a wide range of stories for us.
How have you guys adapted since the 80s to accommodate new understandings of feminism and like what that means?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I wasn't publishing in the 80s, so it's a little bit hard for me to say how the press has adapted. For me, what it means is allowing women and feminists who are looking at sort of a broader picture and sort of broadening that mandate to more intersectionality and including, the rights of trans women and trans men, that sort of thing. So just broadening it out. But I think just expanding that mandate as a feminist movement has expanded it to be thinking to include a wider perspective of global concerns.
Is that how Dagger Editions kind of came to be?
Sort of. I'm queer, and I've always been quite frustrated with the lack of publications. I always say when I talk about Dagger that I think Canada and Canada's publishers do a great job of publishing queer people and queer stories, but there's nobody in Canada who is focusing specifically on queer women. And I always believe that if you open a portal, so to speak, for people to, if you open an opportunity for people to create create art or to create literature, then they're more inclined to do so. So by opening Dagger, I'm hoping to encourage more women to write about their, more queer women to write about their stories so that there's a wider range of literature. I remember when I grew up in Vancouver, there was practically nothing available. There was material available in the library, but it was more about how homosexuality was a sickness. When in my teen years, there was a women's bookstore and Little Sisters, and I spent quite a few hours in Little Sisters trying to find books that would help me understand the life that I was living. And, you know, with Little Sisters sort of closing down and not having as large a selection anymore, I think it's frustrating for young women who are coming out or women who have maybe been out for years but are looking for peers and people to identify with.
I know this must be a question you get all the time, but how do you think that the internet and kind of like new media is affecting the need for these kinds of stories?
Oh, it's affecting the need for it.
Well, like print, like the space of the women's bookstore with these kind of like
I don't think, you know, the general feeling in publishing in Canada is that if you're talking about e-books and online media, I think that it hasn't, there was some idea that it was going to cannibalize print and cannibalize bookstores. And I think that there was a time there where bookstores were, especially in Canada, were struggling. And I think that we all, publishing and working in the literary community or arts community in Canada is always a struggle. But certainly it didn't cannibalize the print book. And from what we're seeing across the country, the bookstores seem to be rallying and coming back. So people are still holding on to the print. If anything, I think new media has made it easier for us to let people know that the work is out there and has given them many ways to access it. So I don't think that the premonition that people were no longer going to be sourcing information from the print from a printed book has yet to come to fruition. You know, I always believe that maybe there's technology coming that's going to change that, but so far that technology hasn't been here. So we continue happily to print books.
How has recent political events, kind of namely the U.S. election, changed the need for feminist and queered press and publications out there in the world?
I think Barack Obama put out he wrote an article, I think it was for, I can't remember the name of the newspaper, online, and he was talking about how we have this idea that history is linear, and actually that's a Marx concept, that history is not linear, that we move forward thinking that we've gained certain rights and that they can't be taken back. And so we're always going to move forward and we can only build on what we have. But the reality of it is that the history is not like that, and that's been proven over and over again, and it's being proven again right now, where our colleagues across the border are now being threatened and concerned about having their rights clawed back. So I think the time is, you know, even greater for us all to stand together and make have a bigger voice. So if Dagger and my colleagues at Arsenal and anybody across the country who is publishing books about queer rights can, you know, get that word out there and spread the word across the nation and across the continent, really, that you know, that we're here to stay and that we're under threat, I think that's a good thing.
Not to kind of like jump backwards in the conversation, you mentioned kind of like rechanging the mandate of the press itself. I'm assuming that's one of the biggest changes that you've made, but could you expand on that a little more and then some other kind of like landmarks that kind of created your legacy, I guess?
You know, we've grown a lot. When I bought Caitlin Press, it was quite small. You know, the previous publisher had been running it at the same time she was holding down a full-time job teaching. So I think she was doing 4 to 6 books a year, maybe. And when I bought Caitlin Press, we started out that small, but very quickly there seemed to be just so much to publish. Each year we've grown the list, and we've kind of grown the scope of the list. So now we're publishing, like I said before, she was publishing pretty much about the central interior. Now we're publishing rural BC. So if there's a story in the Kootenays that sort of fits in that mandate that we have, you know, then we're going to look at it. So now we're doing between, 16 and 20 books a year. And now I have two people, full-time people working for me at the moment. So that's been a big shift. So we went from being a small regional press to being, you know, a larger regional press with a much larger output.
Do you have any goals of expanding or the scope of it at all?
No, I think we're kind of established now. I think even a 20-year year, it's a big stretch for my small staff. We're going to hold as far as our output goes. We seem to be, one of the other things that seems to be happening for Caitlin Press is as the word gets out there that we're doing good work and that we're interested in books that are, we continue to tell the stories of our pioneers and the people who have come before us, Indigenous and you know, the early pioneers, but we're really quite interested in sort of more political things that have, that are telling stories about, you know, the impact of how our land is changing. And we're going to continue to do that. So my hope is that we will continue to attract stronger authors, stronger stories, and that's how we'll grow. But as far as growing physically, as far as doing more work, no, I don't see that. I do see growing Dagger more. Right now we're only doing a couple of books a year. I can see that Dagger kind of taking on a bit of a life of its own at some point in time and becoming either a strong imprint or maybe eventually becoming an entity in itself. But for now, I think the trick is just to get it to grow and to build that national interest or that national identity so that we're telling stories across the country.
So the stories that you choose to tell are very female-oriented. Do you prioritize women-identifying authors, or are you kind of open to anyone with a story to tell about the female experience?
You know, I think we're kind of open, although I do tend to lean towards women telling their own stories. That said, we did a book a couple of years ago by one of my sort of returning authors, and he told the story of his grandmother, who is a member of the Chautauqua Circuit. The Chautauqua Circuit was a bunch of musicians that traveled across the country in the 1800s or the 1900s, and they went across the country setting up tents in small towns and playing music. And it was sort of a cross between sort of Dixie jazz and sort of contemporary. And for women, that was a rare opportunity. You know, you hear the old story about if you didn't get married, you could be a nurse or a teacher, and that was about the only professions that women had. Well, lo and behold, they also had this opportunity, if they were talented and willing to travel, to go on the Chautauqua Circuit. And it was his grandmother that he was telling the story about, so that seemed like an interesting story to tell, so we published it. Most of our women's stories are women telling the story.
Does that go for the same as with the Dagger publications as well?
Yes, I think for me that would be very important. Mm-hmm. We haven't had anybody suggest anything other so far, you know, so I'm not quite sure what I would do if somebody came to me and had put together, you know, something that really benefited our community. I probably would still take it, but my preference would be to let the queer community tell its own story.
Are you guys the only queer-oriented, or is Dagger Editions the only, like, fully queer publication in the city?
No, there's an Arsenal. Arsenal. Arsenal has kind of a wide mandate, so they don't focus just on men or women. Although I think that they have a tendency in the past, their focus has been more heavily focused towards queer men, mm-hmm. or gay men. So we are, as far as I know, and I'm just waiting for somebody to tell me that I'm misinformed. But as far as I know, we are the only imprint in Canada that focuses solely on queer women.
That's amazing.
And of course, there's Plenitude. But Plenitude is not focused just solely on queer women, but and they're a magazine, right?
I'm surprised that more don't exist. I feel like it's fertile ground.
Well, I have heard rumors of there being some small, you know, like independent presses out there, but I have never seen anything that they've published or come across them. And you would think that I would, but I haven't yet. So who knows what's going on in Toronto? And that's not to say that, like, all of my colleagues that I work with in Canadian publishing are, you know, happily published queer stories and have a strong mandate for diversity. And so you'll see Rachel Rose, for instance, is published by Harbor Publishing, who is not, they're a regional press like us. So there are people publishing, queer people all the way across the country. And I think we've been very fortunate about that. I think that Canada is very progressive that way. But like I said, I think we're the only ones who solely are searching out those stories.
What are some publications or events that you're excited for winter, spring 2017?
We're doing Nicola Pfeffer's book called Refuge in the Black Deck, and that's a story of a young woman who joined the Canadian military, the Navy, and was subjected to, you know, some very difficult situations and is now involved in a class action suit against the Canadian military for sexual misconduct in the Navy. We've got, this one is more of a rural story, I think, but we're publishing. So we have a book that he wrote, actually I guess it would have been a bit later than that, but certainly in the 30s and 40s. And he wrote a lot of children's books. He was a renowned naturalist, and we have parks and highways and things like that named after him in BC. So we have a copy of probably the only illustrated children's book he ever wrote, and it's only ever been published as a collector's edition, and we're just republishing it and re-illustrating it with a local artist. So that's quite an exciting project. So we're also doing a book about a woman who, a rancher in the central interior, and she about 15 years ago or so was diagnosed with MS. So it's her story of sort of learning to rethink her life a little bit. Because we also do a lot of history, and because it's the 150th birthday, we're doing one called the Chilcotin Chronicles, which is the story of pioneers in the central interior, and another one called The Land on Which We Live, which is a similar, so they're similar kinds of books, but they stretch from, between the two of them, they stretch from Bridge Lake all the way up to Bella Coola. And then we're doing also another anthology called Wherever I Find Myself. We've been doing quite well with our women's anthologies. So the first anthology that we did, This Place is Stranger, and it was, the subtitle was Canadian Women Traveling Alone. And that, we did quite well with that. It was quite a lot of fun to put together. And then last January we did a book called Boobs, which has been hugely successful. And that's the subtitle on that is Women Talking or Speaking Out About What It Means to Have Breasts. So that's a collection of everything, you know, women who have had to make the decision about whether or not to have a double mastectomy and then have reconstruction surgery. So lots of stories about that, but also stories about coming of age and having to go buy your first bra, and women who have, have problems, difficulties buying their bra sizes. And so it was a really fun collection, and that one sold out, actually. So now we're doing a third one called Wherever I Find Myself, and this is Canadian immigrant women speaking out. So it's a collection of stories from all over, women from all over the world who are talking about having come to Canada and what that's like. So those are kind of the highlights.
And when is your anniversary party?
That's a good question. I think it's...
It's a hard hitter.
Yeah, I think it's the 10th. It's the same weekend as the Room Literary Festival. Same week as the Room Literary Festival.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, and I think we're doing it the Friday night, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Thank you so much for speaking with me. Is there anything you feel like I didn't touch on that you'd like the world to know?
No, other than the fact that we are always looking for Dagger Edition stories. Spread the word that there's an open call for submissions. We have another anthology that we're currently looking for. It's called Swelling with Pride. And there's stories about queer conception and adoption. We have a call out for that right now. So, and hopefully that will be published next spring.
Okay, cool. I will definitely tell the people.
Okay, very good.
Cool. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Good. Thank you for your interest.
Okay, totally. Safe travels.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Take care.
Have a good
Bye-bye.
Trip.
The AIDS Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the Helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the Helpline is one of the many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The Helpline number is 604-696-4666. Or contact us at aidsvancouver.org.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
Hey, welcome back to Discord Radio and CITR 101.9 FM. You just heard a 20-minute long interview with Vicky Johnstone, the owner and publisher, I guess, of Caitlin Press. And Caitlin, like a subset of Caitlin Press, is Dagger Editions, which is a queer feminist female, I guess, like publication subset. And they have a reading, the Pride series, this Thursday, July 13th, from 6:30 to 7:30 at Jim Deva Plaza, and it's totally free, and I'm stoked.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it looks dope.
Thanks. Thank you, Dagger Editions, for doing you.
Yeah. All right. So, happening on Friday, July 14th, from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m., Puzzlehead is playing with Mascara, Rinstream, Vowels, and DJ Daniel R. It is 19 plus, and it is $5 at Rug Date Winky Face.
The winkiest of faces.
Here's Puzzlehead with Detective on CITR 101.9 FM. We hope you like that. That was Mascara with A/Mess. They're playing with Puzzlehead, Rinstream, Vowels, and DJ Daniel R this Friday at Rugdate. Also happening on Wednesday, July 12th, from 7 to 11:30 p.m. at Stylist Records is Foonyap.
Mm-hmm. Fun name. Yes. I'm like very much sold.
Foonyap. I'm trying to like wrap my head around it.
Yeah, no, totally.
It's very peculiar, but sure. There's also an Ant and an Atom. Eshuta and Braintree.
Mm-hmm. And Eshuta is our beautiful, daring music director's personal music project, Andy Resta. So I think he calls it Eshuta.
Oh.
I've been saying Eshuta, and I think more than once he's like subtly corrected me. So I'm going to stick with Eshuta.
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 I guess it's spelled that way, but. Like,
and I'm gonna go off the spelling, yeah.
Like, just say everything phonetically.
But Foonyap is from Calgary, and CBC Radio 3 said, quote, her voice can move mountains, which is really beautiful. So this is Foonyap's Wolf and Plath. Listen to Discord Radio on CITR 101.9 FM.
Into the woods, she swallowed darkness, returned to mud, her darling dead, to seek her cry, though he knew better, she'd wish to die. He pierced his life into the gloom, retraced her horror and wept for two. Over her breast he hung his head, called to the void a torn heart had left. Thank you.
Welcome back to Discord Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. That was I Dreamt of Reaching Space But Couldn't Calculate the Escape Velocity for Reality. Oh my god. By an ant and an atom. They're going to be playing this week with Echuda, Funyap, and Braintree. It's going to be sick. So we have a bunch of things. Like, we're running out of time. It stinks, but we're going to, like, go through a series of events right now. The first one I'm going to talk about super quickly is the Gathering of Canoes. It's happening this Friday, July 14th. It's from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Vanier Park. It's totally free. And it's just kind of like a witnessing of a landing of the pulling together canoe journey. So this is a 10-day journey along traditional highways from the Sunshine Coast to the city of Vancouver. Up to 30 canoes participate, with First Nations, public service agencies, and youth paddlers all participating, and will request permission to land on the traditional territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations land. So bring your family and friends. It's an afternoon feast and celebratory gathering, just to cheer everyone on and really make everyone feel welcome and loved. And then also happening a little earlier this week on Wednesday, there's a panel on why analog photography matters as art as never before. So just kind of like a bunch of panelers who are involved in photography, the publishing world, stuff like that. And that's happening this Wednesday from 7:30 to 9 at Workplace, which is a new space at 163 West Pender. And yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I'm really excited. Yeah.
Love it. So many free events.
I know. Thank you. Thank you, world.
You're welcome.
From the world. Dear Catcot, thank you so much. Is there anything you're excited about?
Yes. Well, something that just happened today that I wish I was able to make it to is the Medicinal Garden Workshop with the Medicinal Collective, which is at, let's see, I believe it's at the UBC Farm. It's from the Ancestral and Musqueam Garden area space of the farm, where basically you connect with a group of Indigenous elders and knowledge keepers and engage in workshops and reconnect and restore relationships with the lands and people that live on the area.
Cool.
And you just kind of learn the ways that they made medicines, and you get to keep it, bring it home. Mm-hmm. And workshops are $20.
It's a series, right?
Yeah. So there's going to be another one August 19th and another one September 16th. So
we will definitely be covering those on Discord Radio, because that is so freaking awesome.
Yeah.
So we're going to come at you with a few songs. So the King Buzzard tape release is happening this Sunday, July 16th, from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. at Silas Records. It's $10. Pay what you can. Nobody turned away. No meanies allowed. 19 plus. So here you are. This is King Buzzard with his song Viva Dixie on Discord Radio, CITR 101.9 FM.
Your friend is quite a mercenary. I wonder if he really cares about anything or anybody.
I've been hiding behind a piece of wood and some slicker words than most people ought to listen to. And maybe I know that, and this is a consequence of more of a sad and lonely me among my friends and family. Someone peel me off. Bless you, Viva Dixie. Why don't you go bear something else? Cause we both know I'm such a jewel. I've been painting my love in fewer strokes and sleeping on the floor since suicide in Montreal. Tell me to get lost and I'll pretend like I was there, darling, in the first place. Let me have my moments to regret. Ooh, I'm the smoking gun, the fire.
Welcome back, dear listener, to Discord of Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting live from the unceded Musqueam Cultural Territories here on UBC campus. Boom. Banged that out. You just heard Shrouded Amps with their song Flags. And just before that, we played... Oh, dude, we played a dude for sure. We played King Buzzard's Viva Dixie. King Buzzard has a tape release this week, and then Shrouded Amps is playing with Run on Sunshine and Maneater this Wednesday, aka tomorrow, July 12th, at the Red Place. So check it out. We're going to try to like really speedily run through some things that we may or may not have time for, but we'll see. So I guess first of all, Pip Magazine is having its third issue released today at Mount Pleasant Park. It starts at 7. I'm going to be there. I think it's going to be really cute and really fun. The theme of the issue is strangers, and Pip Magazine is a totally free, totally online magazine whose mission is to connect artists and inspire and create conversation. So I think it's going to be great. I'm very excited. And yeah, so that's happening.
Yeah, there's also the tattoo haircut barbecue for Prisoner Correspondence Project.
Mm-hmm.
Come by, support a good cause, get a tattoo, get a haircut.
Yeah, so the Prisoner Correspondence Project is a collectively run initiative based out of Montreal, and it coordinates a direct correspondence program for gay, lesbian, transsexual, transgender, gender variant, two-spirit, intersex, bisexual, and queer inmates in so-called Canada and the United States, linking these inmates with people and a part of these same communities outside of prison. So it coordinates a resource library of information regarding harm reduction practice, like surrounding sexuality, so like safer sex, safer drug use, and just like living lives, clean needle care, HIV and hep C prevention, homophobia, transphobia, coming out, etc. And the program aims to make prisoner justice and prisoner solidarity a priority within queer movements on the outside through events like film screenings, workshops, and panel discussions which touch on broader issues regarding the criminalization and incarceration of queers and trans folk. Which is amazing.
Yeah.
I am like
fantastic.
So taken by this organization, and I'm really, really excited for this event.
I'm deeply considering getting a tattoo.
I think Kat should get a tattoo.
I think I should too. I think it's settled.
Cool. Yeah, no. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yay. Woo. Kat.
Yeah.
You're living your best life. I'm so excited. So
we have plenty more events though.
Yeah, no, definitely. Oh my God. I'm so excited. So that is happening this Sunday. Jeez Louise.
Yeah. Ask someone on the event page for the location.
Mm-hmm. And then also Girls Rock Camp is having their showcase this week. We have been obsessed with Girls Rock Camp since the beginning.
Yes, fantastic.
I think, I want to say.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's this Saturday at the Rio from 2 to 3:30 p.m. And all the little campers are going to be performing. So Girls Rock Camp is like essentially like a young person empowerment camp.
Yeah, female and non-male identifying, basically.
Yeah, where like these kids just like go and like learn how to be in a band and create music.
Yeah.
So I'm so stoked for that. I'm so stoked.
Yeah, they're showing what they learned.
Yeah. And then kind of to wrap everything up, this last week was Kat Solano, CITR live broadcast the entire thing, and Kat and my favorite artist almost of all time at this point, Prado performed. It was their first outdoor performance, and I know this because I religiously follow them on Instagram.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they were
Instagram
very
Live.
Excited. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
So this is their song, I Don't Go to Church No More. It's beautiful, shockingly. Yeah. Not it's just
very beautiful, but it's not shocking because
Prado's amazing.
Because of course.
Yeah. And Prado is the cover artist of this month's Discorder issue, or this summer, the double month summer issue of Discorder.
Summer bundle.
She is on the front because she's amazing. So enjoy that. Thank you so much for tuning in to Discorder Radio on CITR.
101.9 FM.
Woo!
I don't go to church no more. fucking hospital and I ain't fucking sick no more. Oh, I've been cured. I'm besties with Jesus. Me and him chill at bars and on bleachers. We like Kelly and Regis. I bet you don't believe this. Told me aliens exist and that they probably see us. Had an epiphany the other day. Lost my Catholic friends to their ways. Not the type of bitch that's on my knees anyway. I cry the pictures on my phone. I pray I don't end up alone. I force myself to go and go. Pay the love I need for the moment. Supersized as fries or soft drinks. Sweet like 60s, thick like milkshakes. Skin so dark and they're so big. I take up space like Mr. Kool-Aid. But the higher up told me Jesus didn't die for just anything. Is that probably so damn mad at me? About the way I play, we just kiss, living day to day. We laugh off hell and lay away. I laugh off hell and lay away. Lay away, lay away.
Tell me about it. Just look at our morning guy.
Hello, this is Mole Man in the Morning. Good Mole Man to you. Today, part 4 of our series of the agonizing pain in which I live every day.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, not the home of Mole Man in the Morning.
Regulations hard. Du lyssnar på CITR 109.9 FM i Vancouver, BC, Canada.